shining at the door. This world has been away from me. Said I'm ready to deliver. Well, I never been this old seeing before. Lord, I've never been this old seeing before.
See, I tell you, that's one boy back there that's happy. Little kids don't matter. My grandson's down there cutting the jig, just letting her rip with this song. When the Rochesters were here one time, older boys were older than the girls, and two of my little girls, one of them paid him. They said, well, I'll give you $1 if you'll get out there and just start cutting the jig. And they did. They're just little old girls. I think I might need to pay some of y'all to get happy and excited. Come on, Brother Simpson. It's been a great pleasure to have him here. And amen. We just pray for the Lord to use him and just bless and have his.
Thank you, Reverend. Hey, you know what? I like it, the way he leads his church in worship. Amen. I guess some church dead as a doornail. You know, thank the Lord you got a preacher with a little bit of fire in him.
Thank you.
Amen. He just insulted me. But anyway, I'm going to forgive him. I appreciate you letting me come. I've enjoyed. Boy, today's been great. It's just been great. How many children you got, grandchildren you got? Good grief. I got 4 children, 8 grandchildren, 12 great-grandchildren, and 2 more great-grandchildren come. And I'll tell you what, they make our day. I'm telling you, it's something happening every day. I mean, little Chloe, she's 4 years old. I mean, sharp as a tack. And so she has a hard time focusing. And so our mother said, now, Chloe, you go in there and you pray and ask the Lord to help you focus. And so she went in there in the bedroom, and Lydia said, I could hear her just praying, oh, God, help me, you know. And you come back, and she sat down at the desk, starts to, she said, Chloe, she said, did God help you focus? He said, well, Mama, you know, sometimes God does not work fast. That's crazy. And my little old Zeke, that's my great-grandson. He's 6 years old, mean as a junkyard dog. And I didn't tell you about this, but anyway, he went to walk across Florida today, 6 months ago, and he just stomped his sister's foot, and she just squalled. And Brianna said, all right, Zeke, you get in the bedroom, boy, you're going to get it. Now, you have to remember, Zeke, when he was about 6 months old, he had spinal meningitis. And almost died. In fact, he has to have hearing in one ear and something else in the other one. But anyway, but he's hearing good, doing real good, smart as a whip. But anyway, she put him in there and said, you just go in there, buddy, you're going to get it. Well, he went in there, and Jeremy and Rebecca, that's my son and daughter-in-law, they said, oh, God, she's going to kill him. She's going to kill him. We better stay around. And said, Brianna walked in the bedroom and said, Zeke, come walking out. Said, Mama, don't you remember when I was in the hospital? She said, yes, I do, but you're getting it, buddy. Boy, he's a mess. Now, the reason I hate to wear these glasses, but I had a cataract surgery, and I'm getting my glasses today. Except I'm here. And so I had to wear these old stupid things till I have to look out there, and I have to look down here. So just, if I look stupid, that's the way I've always looked. So, preacher, I appreciate it. I was preaching for a guy. I'm not going to tell you who he is. He's dead now. But he would take up, I preached for a revival, closed out on Sunday morning. He let me in the pulpit to 12:05. I said, preacher, I'm going to call you Pharaoh. He said, why? I said, because you won't let your people go. I know a lot of preachers like that, amen. I tell you, y'all, Dr. Seitler, great man of God, I loved him. And you know what he said? If you don't strike oil in 30 minutes, quit boring. Some preachers don't know when to quit.
Right.
Oh, boy, that went over like a dead lead balloon, didn't it? Well, I've got, I thank the Lord watching. The family met with the funeral home today at 3, so the funeral's either going to be Saturday or Sunday. So you pray for Miss Millie. That's the mother of Gerald Laney, and she come to our church about 4 or 5 years ago. And she's raised, I'm not trying to be too critical, but she's raised in these 1, 2, 3, repeat after me. And she came to my church at 83 years old, got saved. Isn't that wonderful? And I mean, she likes it. And my wife will shout her once in a while. She don't know what to think about my wife shouting. My wife will shout and drop a hat, and sometimes she drops a hat. Amen. But anyway, I like old time worship. I do. Now, if I get beside myself a shout a while, just pray for me. I enjoy being saved. Amen. Now, we start revival meeting at our church Monday. My grandson, Jeremiah Simpson, is going to be preaching our revival meeting. He's 29 years old. And boy, he can preach. I mean, he can preach. It'll be Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. We'll have live streaming if you want to watch him preach, see the service there. So just pray for us, God, and give us a great revival. Preacher, I really appreciate you letting me come. I do. And I've been praying about what to preach, and I believe the Lord wants me to close out our part of this meeting here in Hebrews chapter 7. Hebrews chapter number 7, verse 25. Let's all stand in reverence to the King James Bible, the Bible God uses. In fact, I had a bunch of hats made. I'm going to have some more made. Boy, I get some funny looks. I like the trucker's hat. I don't like the most sissy hats, but I like the trucker hats with a big rim. And it said, King James Bible, the Bible God uses. Boy, people look to me kind of crazy. That's all right. God uses the King James. Amen. Hebrews chapter 7, verse number 25. One verse. Wherefore he is able also to save them to the uttermost that come unto God by him, seeing he ever liveth to make intercession for them. Now I'm going to take that text and I'm going to just try to break it up and preach it. From the first verse all the way down to the last word in that verse. And I'll preach tonight on saved to the uttermost. You know what the Bible teaches? Once saved, always saved. Couldn't go to hell if you wanted to. Woo! Aren't you glad we're saved forever? You say, well, I don't believe that. You will before we get through tonight. I guarantee you that. You will believe it or get run over. I guarantee you. Father, I pray tonight. Lord, I come tonight. And Lord, you know, I've been having trouble with my back. And Lord, you just take away the pain today. And I so that. God, I pray strengthen us tonight. Give clearness of mind, clearness of voice. We'll thank you for everything you do. Thank you, Lord, for this dear preacher. What he gives, what a friend gives to us. So real. Lord, I like that about him. I pray tonight that you give him the very desire of your heart. Bless your dear wife and all of your grandchildren. We'll thank you for what you do, Jesus. Thank you. Pray. Amen. And amen. Maybe see, you know that's a perpetual promise there, where he said he'd say, able to save them to the uttermost. You know, the best news that I could bring tonight is that God can save anybody, anywhere, at any time. I believe in a whosoever will. Hey, I believe in a whosoever will gospel. You know, if you take that word uttermost, I like to do word studies, and I'm not correcting the King James, I would never do that, but I put up the definition of the word uttermost, and here's what it means. Completely, fully, entirely, to the end, because you're his person. That's long enough, and amen. I'm glad we're saved forever and ever. Well, we have soul winning, and we do this, you know, Operation Saturation. We go out on Saturdays and pass out stuff and go back and try to win people to the Lord. But you know what I find out in Concord, Carolina? It's hard to get people lost today. Everybody in Concord saved. I went out the other day, was out on visitation, and a man come to the door. Now, honest to goodness, he come to the door with a Budweiser beer in his hand. I'd had a Budweiser T-shirt on his hand. And I said, sir, are you saved? Yeah, I'm saved. I go to the Methodist church. I mean, how in the world can anybody be saved like that? I believe when God saved you, I believe he changed you. Amen. I'm glad when I got saved, I haven't drank a drop since that day. Amen. My wife's people were bootleggers. I guess you've heard of the Dukes of Hazzard. My wife's family, Jerry Rushen, wrote the series. He wrote that, started some of it. And Jerry Rushen bootlegged her daddy, and I would go to his steel and buy moonshine before I got saved. He got caught with 32,000 gallons, just a little bit. And he served 2 years in prison. And when he's in prison, he read the Bible all the way through several times. But he said he didn't get saved. But when he got out of prison, the other moonshiners there in Union County, North Carolina, said, if you start making that moonshot again, said, we're going to kill you. And he said, yeah, he knew they would do that. And so he got up the next Sunday morning and got ready. Never been to church in his life. And his wife said, what are you doing, Jerry? He said, I'm going to church. You're going to church? And she said, we're going to. And they went to church, a little church there close to Nora, North Carolina. And Jerry walked down the aisle that day and got saved by the grace of God. His wife got saved, children got saved. And boy, he was a blessing. I had him down the church. And they brought that old car that he had, you know, General Lee. And they had it there. And they had, we had over 400 that Sunday. And he got up and gave his testimony how God saved him by the grace of God. I went a man to the Lord over here at the motel yesterday or the day before, what I'm going to say. His name is Waylon. I thought, well, I know Waylon Jennings. You know, I don't know him. But, you know, he wrote Just a Good Old Boys. He wrote the theme song. You know where he got the theme song? From my wife's cousin, Jerry. He was a songwriter. But anyway, if y'all stay around, I'll charge you $5 for the whole story, all right? But you can look it up online, the real Dukes of Hazzard, and it's about Jerry Rushton and his brother Johnny. Jerry and Johnny were Bo and Luke. And Jerry told me, he said, I did hear one sermon one time down at the pool hall. The pool hall. Now, listen, everybody, we know everybody and one of the characters in that story. And there's a man in that story named Boss Hogg. You know what the real person was named? Hogg Jaw Rao. And Hogg Jaw Rao had a pool hall, and he sold liquor at that pool hall. And he said one day, Uncle Worley, I got up on the pool hall drunk as a skunk and preached and told every one of us who was going to go to hell for making liquor. But anyway, and he said, that's the only time I ever heard a sermon, but he got saved by the good grace of God. Amen and amen. But I'm going to tell you what, you know how long he got saved? He got saved to the uttermost. He that hath begun a good work in you shall perform it unto the day of the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm glad I'm heaven bound with a hammer down, just like Mays Jackson. Amen. I'm glad tonight that we have uttermost salvation. Why do we need uttermost salvation? Because you and I are uttermost sinners. You'll never get saved until you realize that you're entirely, hopelessly, really lost without God. It's not hard to get people saved. It's hard to get them lost. But once they get lost, they get saved just like that. I believe lost is probably the most terrible word I've ever heard. I mean, you think about the people say, I've lost my fortune, I've lost my health, I've lost my finances, and that's terrible. But to hear a sinner cry out, I'm lost, lost, and going to hell, that's the most terrible word in the world. I believe lost is the darkest word in the world. I mean, it means that you're separated. You're going to be eternally punished. It means that opposite of heaven. It means unholy, ungodly. It means hell, no peace, no joy, no happiness. It means that you'll live forever in hell with the evil companionship. You know how lost we are? We were lost from birth. He said, behold, I was shaping iniquity. And in sin did my mother conceive me. We were born headed for hell unless God come across and we got saved. Amen. But lost and getting worse. The Bible said in Ephesians 2:3, by nature, the children of wrath. We're lost and have no hope. Without Christ, have no hope. Without God in the world, no confidence in the future. You know what we see on one side? We're lost, lost, lost. But I want to preach tonight, the cross, the cross, the cross. I'm glad God's made it available for anyone who wants to be saved. Now, keep your Bible open. I'm going to go through this verse here, Hebrews 7:25. I'm preaching about uttermost salvation and what it means. Let me just say first of all that uttermost salvation is in a person. Notice what it says here. Wherefore he is able to save them. It didn't say wherefore she is able to save them. It didn't say wherefore it is able to save them. If it had been she, you could have got saved to the church. But I don't care what the Catholic Church, you're not saved because you belong to a certain denomination. But he is able to save them to the most. You're not saved by works. You're not saved by baptism. If it was, it'd be wherefore it is able to save them to the uttermost. I'm glad the Bible is plain. Wherefore he is able to save them to the uttermost. He, not the church, not clean living, not praying, not our strength. The Bible said in Acts 4:12, neither is there salvation any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men, whereby we must be saved. Uttermost salvation is in a person, the Lord Jesus Christ. Not a place, not a work, but in a person. The Bible said, wherefore he, salvation, uttermost salvation is in a person. But notice the next little verb there. Wherefore he is. That word there is in the present tense. The Bible said in Hebrews 11:6, he that cometh to God must believe that he is. Amen. You say, who is he? The same one that walked with Abraham under the starry skies. The same one that walked with Moses through the Red Sea. The same one that was with Daniel in the lion's den. He is always able to save. Amen. Jesus said, the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which is lost. Now, if I read that verse right, it does not mean that he was saving, but he can't save now. It does not mean that he will be saving, but won't be he can't save now. But I'm glad right now, dead on it, wherefore he is able to save. He's here tonight to save you. You don't have to wait and do a bunch of things to get saved. I remember I had a young preacher got saved, and we sent him off to school, and his wife had come out of a Methodist church, and she come to altar. And she got told my wife and Miss Collins, she said, why, what's wrong? And she said, well, I went through 8 weeks of catechism to get saved. I'm glad you don't have to wait 8 weeks down the road. I can go through some catechism and get saved. Well, I'm glad you can get saved right now. Amen. Wherefore he is able to save. Now, notice something else. It says, wherefore he, person, is present, able. That means he's got the power to save. He got the power to save. Matthew 28:18. And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and earth. You know what God said? He's got enough power to save anybody. That word power there means he has the authority. Nobody else has the authority to save you, but all power, all authority has been given unto him. You know, if God saves you, did you know you'll never be the same? You remember those wise men came? I had to see the baby Jesus. You know what the Bible says? When they saw him, what they do? The Bible said they went out another way. I tell you, when you get saved, you will go out another way. You won't go to the beer joint. You'll go down to the house of God. Amen. Wherefore, he is able to save them to the uttermost. I'm glad he can touch the deaf and they can hear. I'm glad he can touch the blind and they can see. I'm glad, ladies and gentlemen, he can touch the leper and they are cleansed. The dumb, and they can speak. The dead, and they're raised. And the storm will lay down his feet like a puppy. And demons fear him when he says, let him go. Amen. I'm glad Jesus is able to touch your life and make you a new creature in Christ. I'm telling you, I got saved on a Thursday night. Preacher, I'm telling you, I was singing in a quartet. And I was trying to do things. I was trying to get a little better. I thought if I'd done a little better, I'd get saved. And that Thursday night, I got saved by the grace of God. I got up the next morning, and my life was so changed that about 3 months later, my wife saw such a change in my life that she got under conviction and she got saved. Isn't that wonderful? I'm glad that people can know whether you're saved or not. Right? I'm preaching good news tonight. Amen. That's the gospel, the good news. I'm preaching hope, but not disaster. I'm preaching happiness and not sadness. I'm preaching health and not sickness. I'm preaching holiness and not sinfulness. Amen? You say, preacher, how much power has God had? You don't get a little scared? Paranoid? Job said he hung this earth on nothing. 25,000 miles. He said, where are you going to put the... The angel said, Lord, where are you going to put the earth? He said, right there. It's been right there for 6,000 years. We're on a ball of mud that's hanging on nothing. That scares me to death. They could just take off someday. It's not going to take off someday because he hung it on nothing. The Bible said in the book of Isaiah that he's so powerful that he measured the oceans in the palms of his hand. Amen, amen. All right, now here's one when I'm flying up here in that big old plane. The Bible said in Nahum, the clouds are the dust of his feet. And I look at those clouds and I said, Lord, looks like you've been running around pretty good today. Would you make sure that this plane lands in Michigan next month? Amen. I'm telling you what's the truth. He's got the power to save. Wherefore he, a person, is present, able, power to save. That's purpose. You know why God saved? God, the whole thing about Calvary and the death, burial, and resurrection is that God has a purpose. You know, when you sin, when you get saved, that implies sin. Is that right? You know what sin has done? It's wrecked us. It's afflicted us. It's condemned us. But I'm glad God's able to save anybody. I thought about Gerald Laney. He died yesterday at 5 o'clock, and he was an old drunk. And when I first started talking to him, he'd curse. I mean, he'd just curse and curse and curse. But then when he got saved, God changed him like that. And I told my wife, I said, "What?" I said, "Old Gerald Laney got saved." She said, "Well, why should it surprise us that they changed when God saved them?" I tell you why, we have so many people make professions that don't change, that when somebody really does get saved, that they change, it surprises us. Amen. I'm telling you, I'm glad he's able to save. You say, who can he save? He can save murderers like Paul. He can save drunks like Noah and Lot. He can save harlots like Rahab. He can save professors like Simon Peter. He can save thieves like Matthew. He can save adulterers like Samson and David. He can save doubters like Thomas. Amen? I'm glad he's able to save anybody. I'm glad he can change anybody's life. If there's anything this Bible teaches, it teaches us that the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which is lost. I've got a book at the house by W.A. Criswell, and it's a sermon, The Scarlet Thread Through the Bible. And he started one Sunday and started in Genesis and preached all the way through the Bible and showed Jesus in every book of the Bible. And I preach that at my church. I steal everything I can. I mean, I've been there 37 years. I preach everything but the concordance. Amen? But I'm going to tell you something right now. I'm glad that every book of this Bible, there's a scarlet thread that runs through every book in the Bible that said it's the blood. Without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sins. In Genesis, he's the seed of the woman that's to bruise the head of the serpent. In Exodus, he's a great deliverer. In Leviticus, he's our high priest. In Numbers, he's the one that knows where everybody is. In Deuteronomy, he's kept the law without spot and without blemish. In Joshua, he's our captain of salvation, taking us into Canaan land. In the book of Judges, he's never made a wrong decision. In the book of Ruth, he's the bridegroom and I'm the bride. In 1 and 2 Samuel, he anoints for a battle. In 1 and 2 Kings, he wins all our battles. In 1 and 2 Chronicles, Solomon said, "A half has never yet been told." Woo! I mean, we don't know anything about him yet. Wait till we see him in all his glory. In Ezra, he's the scribe that writes down everything perfectly. In Nehemiah, he's the rebuilder of the house, the home, and the heart. In Esther, he will even the score. In Job, he's a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. In Psalms, he's the greatest song that's ever been sung. In Proverbs, he's the wisdom of God. In Ecclesiastes, he's a preacher about whom they said, "Never man spake like this man." In the Song of Solomon, he's the lover of my soul. In Isaiah, he's the Lord high and lifted up. In Jeremiah and Lamentation, he's a weeping prophet. Can I say in Ezekiel, he's riding in chariots of fire. In Daniel, he'll be with you in the furnace when the fire's burning. He'll be with you in the lion's den when they're growling. Amen and amen. In the minor prophets, they're the one they were looking for. In Matthew, he said, "Call him Jesus. He's got a name that's above every name." In Mark, he's a servant washing the disciples' feet. In Luke, he's a great physician that just one touch heals everybody. I want to tell you something. In John, he's the Word made flesh and dwelt among us. In Acts, he's the one that fills the early church with the Holy Spirit. In Romans, he's the one that whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. In 1 and 2 Corinthians, he can solve any church problems. In Galatians, he's the end of the law. In Ephesians, he takes an orphan child of the devil and adopts him into the family of God with all the rights and all the responsibilities. In Philippians, he's the one I'm a living for. Man, I feel like there's somebody over the back door. I feel like shouting tonight. Amen. I'm telling you, he's what I'm living for. In Colossians, he's to have first place in our life. Can I say in 1st, 2nd Thessalonians, he's going to come with a shout. The first time he shouted, one came out. The second time he shouted, many came out. But the next time he shouts, they're all going to come out. Amen. In Titus, he's the grace of God to the fear to all men. Can I say something in Philemon? He takes the slave and said, charge that to my account. In Hebrews, he's a great intercessor. In James, he gives the 5 crowns. In 1st and 2nd Peter, he's joy unspeakable and full of glory. In 1st and 3rd John, he is our advocate. Can I say something? In Jude, he's coming with 10,000 of his saints. But in the books of the Revelation, he's coming riding on a white horse. And he's going to rule and reign for 1,000 years in Jerusalem. Amen. Woo! Leave me alone, praise God. I'm glad he's able to save. Amen. Well, not just save, but he's able to save to the uttermost. The uttermost salvation has a provision. That means there's no case too bad. There's no life so wrecked. There's no stain too deep. I'm glad he can save to the uttermost of the past. The Bible said in Isaiah 55:7, let the wicked man forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts, and let him return to the Lord, and he will have mercy upon him, and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon him. Hey, you know what salvation is? It's just like a baby. A baby has no past, only a future. I'm glad all of ours yesterdays are buried in the deepest of the sea. Not a load of guilt I carried. It's all gone. Praise God, I'm free. Looking for a bright tomorrow where no tears will dim the eye. Oh, what a difference since Jesus passed by. Said he'll abundantly pardon. That means he'll bring you farther out than you were in. Let's just say if you was a mile in sin, he's going to bring you a mile and a half out. So if you do sin, you still got a half a mile. It means that communism says take 2 steps forward and one step back. But Jesus said, take 1 step backwards and I'll bring you 2 steps. Amen. I'm glad he's a great God. Whew. I don't feel like preaching. I feel like shout, praise God. I'm glad I know whom I have believed. I need some persuading that he's able to keep that which I've committed unto him against that day. You say, well, the devil's bothering me. Well, he bothers me too. Sometimes he'll say, how can you say that? How can you do that? How can you look at that and still be saved? Well, I tell you why, I'm not saved by works. I'm saved by he is able to save them to the uttermost. Amen? I heard about a man. He was in prison. And he was going to be executed that afternoon. And his lawyer went before the judge, and the judge issued him a pardon. About that time, the people came and grabbed him and unlocked the door, and they was taking him down there, and they said, aren't you afraid? No, I'm not afraid. Look here. And he held up a piece of paper and said, I've got a pardon. I'm glad, praise God, I've got a pardon tonight. Amen! I'm heaven bound with a hammer down. Are you listening to me today? I'm glad I'm saved to the uttermost of the past, but I'm saved to the uttermost of the future, too. Somebody said, I don't believe that. Can I just say something right now? When Jesus died on the cross, all of your sins were future. Oh, I didn't think about that. I didn't think you did. I want to tell you something. When God saves you, he saves you to the uttermost of the future. Here's one of my favorite verses. There hath no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, not us, but God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that you're able, but will with the temptation also make a way that you can bear it. You know what? God always has a door out. Amen. God will make a way when there's not a way. God is able to make us able. It is his faithfulness to make us able. And we might fail. And we might doubt, make mistakes and sins. But I'm glad he'll come to our rescue. Well, listen. What does the Bible say? Wherefore, he, personal, is present, able, power to save, purpose, to the uttermost provision that coming to God by him. You know what that is? That's a proposal. He is a bridegroom and we're the bride. And what he asks us to be saved is a proposal. Amen? Well, you say, preacher, how do you get saved? You must come. I'm glad he's never turned anybody away. Though millions have come, there's still room for one. There's room at the cross for you. But you must come to God. You don't come by Buddha. You don't come by Allah. You don't come by some religion. If you get to God, you must come to God by him. Bible says salvation is of the Lord. Now, what's the thing? What's the problem? If you get saved, you got to come. But if you get saved, you must come by him. There's a lot of people going to die and go to hell because they want to get saved but come another way. Jesus said, I am the way. He said, there's no other way. Amen. If you get to the Father, you got to come by him. You know, the way that you can get to God is through Jesus. You say, are Muslims going to die and go to hell if they don't come through Jesus? Are Hebrews going to get saved, die and go to hell if they don't come through Jesus? Are you, man? I will tell you, the Buddhists, they'll not, God can save a Buddhist, but they got to come to God through Jesus. Amen. I read about a little girl that lived in England, and she lived outside that Buckingham Palace. And from the time she was a little girl, she looked and she could see that palace. She said, Mama, said, one of these days, said, who lives in that palace? She said, the king lives in that palace. Well, I'm going to go see that king. She said, you can't go see the king. And she said, I want to. So she lived all her life. And then when she was about 12 years old, she got her brand new dress, had her hair fixed, put a bow in her hair, put on some shiny shoes, and I mean, just dressed up. And her mama said, where are you going? She said, I'm going to see the king. Didn't I tell you you couldn't see the king? Nobody sees the king. And so the little girl, she takes her little pocketbook, she walks down the trail up to the door of Buckingham Palace. And when you got there, there's a guard, and that guard said, what do you want? And she said, I've dressed up, and I want all my life to see the king. Nobody gets to see the king. The little girl went over there and sat down on a chair, and she began to cry. All of her life, she'd been wanting to go see the king. About that time, she felt a tap on her shoulder, and she looked up, and this young man was standing there. And he said, little girl, why are you crying? She said, all my life, I've lived over yonder, and I want to go see the king that lives in this palace. Do you really want to go? She said, yes, I'm here. He said, put your little hand in mine. And that little girl put her hand in that man's hand, and they walked to the gate. When they walked to the gate, the soldiers came to attention, and they let her in. And when they got in, she got to jumping up and down and said, how do we get in? She said, I'm the king's son, and anybody goes with me gets a king. Hey, we're going to see the king someday, but we're going to see the king by coming to the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen? I'm just simply saying, Jesus will save anybody that'll come. I read about a Spanish Inquisition, how terrible they would be back in those days. And when they caught an enemy, the Spanish had caught an enemy, they put him in a room and they start laying brick around that room. And they lay around that room until completely, that room was completely sealed with brick. And they run out of food, run out of water, and finally run out of air. And they would die inside that room. Can I just say something? Every time you shut out Jesus, and another brick. Fill the toe, add another brick. These days, the last brick is going to be the last. And you know, come now, the door's wide open. Amen. You know, that's one thing I like about God. I've been around here for years. God keeps all those babies, they almost throw in the towel, they almost get defeated. But they never do. You know why? God is faithful. Woo! And just about the time you pushed every button, pulled every string, said, I don't know what I'm going to do. By that time, he steps up and gives you enough grace to carry on through. Amen. Some people are afraid to ask for grace. The Bible said he gives grace for grace. I believe God can give you grace to ask for grace. Now, you say, preacher, I don't know if I can ask for grace. I'd be like telling a little fish in the ocean, I wouldn't take a drink. If you take a drink of the ocean, you'll drink it dry. What if you told that cow? I told that cow in here, you know, pasture. If you eat some grass, you're going to destroy this pasture. I'm telling you, that little fish has got more than she can ever drink. That cow's got more grass than she can ever eat. And we got more grace than we can ever use up. Praise God and the Lamb forever. Wherefore he is able also to save them to the most that come by God unto him, seeing he ever liveth to make intercession. Perpetual promise. Oh, he ever liveth to make intercession. We have a high priest. Amen. And you know what that high priest done? He's put the blood on the mercy seat. And he's standing there making intercession for you and I. Let's stand with our heads bowed and eyes closed. Preach from the tongue. And I preach you a simple message on salvation. And if you die and go to hell, it won't be because of you. You know, if you die and go to hell, it's because you love something or somebody more than you love God. Which I don't believe that. Yes, you do. You love something like liquor, meth, heroin, cocaine. You love that more than you love Jesus. Or you love somebody. There's a lot of people going to go to hell because they love somebody more than they love you. Don't you let that man send you to hell. Don't you let that woman send you to hell. Would you be willing right now? This is serious, but I know we've heard preaching in America. But I want to ask you something. Would you be willing right now to stand before God with your salvation experience? Will it too when you're dying? When I was at Galilee, I had a good deacon, Brother Gene. And Brother Gene and I was preaching one day, and I gave the invitation just like I did just then. I said, you say you're saved. Well, it's due when you're dying. And after church, the deacon's wife come up to my wife and said, I need to talk to you and your preacher. She said, why, sir? She said, your preacher preached a salvation message and said, check it up. The Bible said, examine ourselves to see if we're in the faith. And the preacher said, are you willing to die with what you have? I want to ask you that question. Are you willing to die with your salvation experience? Boy, death is final. When you die, nobody can pray you out of purgatory. Nobody can buy you out of hell. Nobody can be baptized in your place. This is a personal experience with you and the Lord. And the time that, you know what he said? The Son of Man hath power on earth to forgive sin. On earth. Not in hell, not in heaven, not in the skies. The Son of Man hath power on earth to forgive sin. You say, preacher, I'll let you say, he can do it right now on earth. Every head's bowed, every eye's closed. Wherefore he is able also to save them to the utmost, to come unto God by him, seeing he ever liveth to make intercession for them. That's the gospel in a nutshell right there. Person, present, power. Amen. Provision, uttermost, perpetual promise, seeing he ever liveth to make intercession for them. Preacher, you come and give the invitation.
You heard the message. You can be saved. It's your choice. Nobody can make you. Nobody can do it for you. You can't inherit it. You can't buy it. You can't earn it. You just got to receive it.